Just Moments to Live. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Just Moments to Live. It was a very cold afternoon. The wind was bleak. It was a very difficult day. The sky was tormented. The winds on high were blowing. The winds, midwinds were blowing. Winds were blowing through the jet stream, through the sky in every possible way, in very powerful ways. And I went to a meeting. And the meeting was held in a very plush hotel in Las Vegas. And as I arrived at the meeting, I was very interested to see who some of the participants were. And there were very few participants. There was Bill Gates there, Bill Gates III. There was Bill Clinton there. There was Heinz Oertli there, and there was myself. What an interesting group. And we met each other and had a good buffet together. And after the buffet, we were to take a trip out into the desert. And we got in this very special vehicle, the big old Hummer. We were driven out into the middle of the desert, way out beyond anything. And there, in the middle of this very barren, very hot, very unpleasant area, was an oasis. And the oasis had a few palm trees and a pond, a spring, and one room cabin with no electricity, no utilities of any kind, and the water from the spring was very, very good to drink. And the coconut trees all had coconuts in abundance. And growing around the pond were many plants that were edible. And then the driver of the Hummer said, "Okay, this is where I leave you." And he took off. And in a very few moments, the noise of the Hummer was lost across the desert. And then there was a large explosion. We could see it way, way off in the distance. And what had happened, the Hummer had blown up. Now, we were confident the driver was not in the Hummer, that he had stopped to find out what was wrong with the Hummer, and when he got out, the Hummer caught on fire and blew up and wasn't there anymore. Here we were, out in the desert, known only to us and to the driver of the Hummer. And we were abandoned, quite abandoned, out here in the middle of this fabulous desert. And as we sat around and contemplated what was going to happen, each one of us were in fairly good health, and each one of us had a fairly sound grasp of things. And each one of us realized that this could be the last days of our life, however long we existed here on this desert oasis. To walk back to civilization from here was rather doubtful, because it was several hundred miles the Hummer had driven us out into the middle of nowhere, and no one else knew where we were. And so Bill Clinton turned to us and he says, "Well, if we had a few good drugs, we could tolerate this situation quite well until our demise came, and we would do very well." And Bill Gates said, "Well, let's see now. How can we make the most beneficial use of the food that we have available here? How can we make the most beneficial use of the time that we have here, so that whatever we're doing, we're going to have the most beneficial use of it?" And Heinz Hartley, he looked at them and he says, "I was on a medical program and I was going to use certain foods and other things to work on a condition I've been experiencing. Now what do I do?" And I said to all of them, "I'm at peace. I am peace. I feel very good. I feel that regardless of wherever I am, there I have me. Wherever I am, I am going to be the kind of person that I am. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I'm always going to enjoy who I am and what I am, and live my life in a way that makes me very happy, makes me very fulfilled, makes me feel that all is in divine order." At first, Bill Gates turned to me and he said, "That seems like a very Pollyanna way of looking at things. Don't you think we should be a little more creative and a little more imaginative about how we might get out of here?" And I said, "Well, we could do that. We could spend our time and our energy on concerning ourselves how to get out of here, or we could spend our time and our energy on being the finest people, the finest beings that we can possibly be right here where we are." Bill Clinton spoke to me and said, that's kind of strange. I've never thought about being the finest person right where I am. I've always done everything beautifully the moment I was living it. But after my experiences in being president and my experiences in being condemned for circumstances that really were not part of my world, but I had to just face them like a man, here I am now, living in this abandonment, and no one knows what I'm doing, no one knows how I'm acting except us right here, and I don't even know any of you, so you're unimportant to me too." And I said, "Isn't that wonderful?" I said, "We're all here together as individuals. We basically don't know each other. Heinz and I have met and are longtime friends, but the rest of us have not met each other. And here we are in this apparent abandonment. Now what are we going to do?" Well, Gates said, let's do this. Let's take our minds and put them to work on the solution to our circumstance. And I said, all right, Gates, what is the solution to our circumstance? What is our circumstance? And he said, well, our circumstance is that we are abandoned here on this desert area, and we must get back to civilization. And I said, well, what if we would never get back to civilization? What if we are here for the rest of our life, and we're going to live the rest of our life right here? What kind of a life do we want to live? Well, Clinton said, I don't know. I don't know. I've done my best. I've given my best. I've been as honorable as I can be, and even that way I've lost out. And I said, well, Clinton, if that's your attitude, then even if you were found not guilty of your problems and you were back in civilization, you would be a sort of a worthless individual. You would have no plan for yourself, no plan that would say, life is fun, life's a joy, life is exciting. And Heinz spoke up and he says, yes, that's really what I would like, is to live an exciting life, to live a full life. If I have 10 minutes to live, I'd like to live every minute of it as though it's the most exciting thing in the world, that I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my whole spirit, mind, and body. I live healthy and dynamic and alive. I said, that sounds great. Okay, Heinz, where are you going to get the information, the details, the drugs, the medicines, the materials, the food, what have you, that are going to keep us in that happy state of being, in that ideal state of being? Well, Heinz said, well, as I look around here, I certainly don't see all the things that I had told myself were important for my healthy attitude and my healthy body. And Clinton showed a little bit of sign of life, and he says, well, as we look at these palm trees, as we look at these coconut trees, as we look at all the plantings around the edge of the pool here, certainly enough pure water in that pool to drink and enjoy, we could live a long, long time. For want of material things around us, we certainly have sufficient. And Gates said, well, we certainly should get busy on preparing the foods for ourselves and preparing these things so that we have them to eat. And I said, well, it would seem to me the first thing we do is prepare ourselves. Well, what do you mean prepare ourselves? Clinton said, well, we prepare ourselves by our thinking. Kay says, well, of course, our thought is the most important thing that we have to work with. Bill Gates and I could play a good game of chess, and we would really have a good experience between one another, because we are men's of people, we are geniuses, we are fantastic, and so we could play these games and enjoy ourselves very thoroughly. And I said, yes, that's true. That's true. When you are a genius, and you know that your mind is available to you for anything you want to use it, then certainly the thing we most want to do is to amuse ourselves. The things we most want to do is to amuse ourselves and realize that we can play games. Oh, Herb, you sound just a little bit sarcastic there. No, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm saying if you have such genius as you do, it would appear to me that you might like to take that genius and apply it to, say, living in your healthy body. Now, Bill Gates and Bill Clinton and Heinz, have you ever had any condition in your body that made you feel unhappy? Do you have any condition in your body right now that makes you feel unhappy? Do you have anything that's going on that makes you feel less than perfect? Heinz says, yeah, I got something going on. And Clinton says, Oh yeah, I'm got the willies after drug treatment here, and I'm a little unstable. And Gates says, well, my body has just been checked over by my physicians, and I have been given a good bill of health. I'm in perfect condition, and that's great. And I said, and mine is too. Now, how do we get Heinz and Clinton here into shape? And how do we stay in shape? If we're going to live in the environment of two people who are having physical difficulties, maybe not so serious, but physical difficulties that make them think about their difficulties, then we're going to be thinking about that difficulty too. Now, Gates, you and I are the ones who are the least affected by these things. Now, how are we going to remain not affected by their health when their health is so evident to us? Well, we have a mind, and we can certainly use our mind. Now, in using our mind, are we going to use our mind to say positive things about ourselves? Or are we going to use our mind to make observations of appearances that seem to be? Well, we certainly should make positive observations, Clinton said. That's the most positive thing in the world. I've been learning that in the detox school that I've been going to. We must make positive observations. And Gates says, well, I've been studying education recently, and I've been studying medical colleges and so forth, and learning techniques in which they bring about the most results for patients. And every place I've been, it's all been by whatever mental attitudes they have, that's the experience they have in their life. And I said, well, why don't we make this tour de force here, this experience that we have here together, one of absolute positive response, where each one of us live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body. Each one of us live in our body that is whole and perfect, and speak our word that this is so. Well, I'm not totally certain about that, Gates said. Well, I can see where it would work, Clinton said. And Heinz says, I know it works. It's just that the dedication is sometimes beyond me. The dedication is so difficult to keep your mind on the positive idea that I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect, to keep it on that even when you're experiencing not being home perfect. Well, you can drive a car like Yuri Geller with a blindfold on, and you can drive through the busy streets of New York and have the car perfectly under control. Now, Yuri Geller says to himself, this car is perfectly under control. I am perfectly under control, and I'm driving down this busy street, and I know where every car is, and I drive harmoniously with every car, coordinately with every car, and I drive beautifully. And then he does it. Other people have done similar feats, and they have shown that the mind can do these wonderful things. Okay. Now, if we put our consciousness on the fact that our body has any ailment at all, at any moment it has an ailment, whatever we are aware of in our body that says we are sick or we have a problem, that's merely a wake-up call to say, I'm whole and perfect. And we say, I'm whole and perfect so often and so confidently and so completely that any sickness feeling is gone from our body. It gets no attention. It has no empowerment. And because it has no attention and no empowerment, it does not happen. And Gates says, well, I buy that. I can readily understand that, and I certainly believe that with all my heart, that our mind is the most powerful element of our being, and we have the ability to use that mind for whatever we choose. And Heinz says, I say I'm home perfect. I say I'm home perfect. And then sometimes I don't feel home and perfect. And when I don't feel home and perfect, it's very hard for me to say I'm home and perfect. But I still try to say I'm whole and perfect, even though I don't feel like saying I'm whole and perfect. I don't feel like the results are coming. I feel that I'm getting no results, that nothing's happening. And Clinton says, yeah, I know. I went through the programs on that sort of stuff, and they kept saying to me, Bill, you're whole and perfect. Bill, you're fantastic. Bill, you're wonderful. Bill, you're whole and perfect. Bill, you no longer have any desire for drugs. You know, and whenever they said that to me, then I had a great desire for them. And so I said, hey, don't say that to me. I don't have a desire for drugs. I'm an alcoholic or I'm a drug addict. Don't say those things to me. Say to me, I am pure, beautiful, fantastic. My body is absolutely pure. My body is pure. My body is pure. My mind is pure. My thoughts are pure. I live in a pure body. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. And the more I say that, the more I am that, the more I live it. And Bill Gates got the message there, and he says, yeah, I'm whole and perfect. 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 And we all looked at Gates and we said, hey, it's easy for you to say you're whole and perfect. You got no problems. And Gates says, and you can bet one thing, I'm going to say this all the time and I won't have any problems. Because we could be here in eternity, and I, for one, choose to be here for an eternity, if that's our choice, in a whole and perfect body. I choose to live in a whole and perfect body. I choose to have every organ, action, function of my body perfect all the time that I am living, breathing, being on this planet Earth. And I choose to live in abundance. Yes. I choose to live in abundance, and I'm surrounded by all the food that I enjoy, all the fresh, beautiful air to breathe, this wonderful water to drink. I feel fantastic. I have everything. And Heinz looked at him and said, yeah, I can see that for you. I can see that for you. You know, you're starting out perfect, and you're continuing perfect. And Gates says, Mr. Oatley, I could tell you things about me that would shrivel your hat, that would make you feel very sorry for me, that would make you feel very discontent with yourself being here with me. I could tell you things that would make you feel very, very, oh, what is that? And I said, do you really want to know? I said, why do you think Gates is giving us this bill of goods about himself that is negative? Is he trying to get us to feel that he too has a need for saying I'm whole and perfect? Gates, why are you doing that? Why are you alluding to something inside of yourself? And Gates says, well, there's nothing wrong with me, but I just wanted to show you that if there were something wrong with me, then that's how I would treat it. And I said, Bill Gates, the three of us have just had a picture of you that makes us feel that you have some incurable condition in your body or in your mind that is giving you trouble and that's making you unhappy. And Gates says, oh, no, I don't have it. Well, why did you say it? Well, I wanted you to see how it would feel, just academically, to work from that point of view. Well, Mr. Gates, you don't have to do that. Some of us already have problems that are difficult, and we are learning to be positive about them, to be positive so that they no longer have any power in our life. Well, I just said that as an illustration. I just said, Gates, you know that you cannot say illustrations like that. You know, you cannot give things like that without giving them power, and in the moment you will experience them yourself, and you will have to make a complete change in your attitude to leave them behind. You're right, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right. Oh, oh, why did I ever do that? Why did I ever do that? Yes, we all could ask ourselves, why do we ever say anything negative about ourselves, when the truth about ourselves is that we are perfectly created from the very beginning. Our bodies are perfectly created. Our minds are perfectly receptive to the universal allness, the universal mind that we are. We are perfectly created from the beginning. And by putting thoughts in our mind about a world where there is sickness or there is war or there is conflict, by putting thoughts in our mind that there's anything that's imperfect in our world, then we take on that which we felt was imperfect, and we make it ours, and then we live it, and then we wonder why life could not be perfect. Now, gentlemen, what if you were all angels, as ever you conceive an angel to be, and you consider yourself to be perfect, and what sort of things would you do? Would you be playing a harp and sitting on a cloud? Would you think that would be exciting? Well, I don't know that an angel would do that. Maybe an angel does. Maybe they live in their mental attitude of purity and harmony and goodness. Maybe they live in their mental attitude of all is good and all is beautiful. Maybe that's what the gurus do, who live in these caves up in the mountains. And they live in the caves and the mountains with attitude of happiness and contentment, and they live in that attitude of oneness and goodness, and their body does not need any attention. Their mind does not need any attention. They just live in a state of bliss. Well, that sounds like it'd be kind of a lazy way of living, Clinton said. We should be a little more active than that. We should be doing things. And Heinz said, oh, I'd love to live in a state of bliss. To live in a state of bliss would be so fulfilling and so wonderful. And we said, that's right. That's right, that would be a fulfilling and a wonderful thing. Yes? Yes, maybe. That's why we created ourselves in this situation here on this oasis. Maybe we created ourself on this oasis to come to the values of life. What are the real values of life, and what are the things that we really want to do? What are the things that will make us feel content, that will make us feel fulfilled, that will make us feel that everything is in perfect order for us? Well, Kate says, well, I'm sort of getting an interesting picture here. I'm getting a picture that I don't need anything. I've just given away a great deal of my wealth. And I don't need anything, and I don't want anything. Of course, being here away from my family and away from my world, I feel sort of sad, but I'm here. And I'm not going to think this is forever, but I am going to think that whatever thoughts I think, they are forever. Now, when I go back to my family, and I can go back to them mentally anytime I want, I would feel most happy to go back to them with a content attitude of mind, with a blissful attitude of mind, with an attitude of mind of being so happy with myself, so happy with the world, so happy with everything, that everything in the world is beautiful, and everything in the world is good. Well, Clinton said, my mind can certainly work on that. And Ertley said, yes, my mind can work on that too. I can see myself living in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I can see myself living in my harmonious circumstances. I can see myself surrounded by beautiful beings in a beautiful world here and wherever I am. And it doesn't matter where I am surrounded by beautiful beings. True, my wife isn't here. True, my children aren't here with my wife, says Clinton, and says Gates. And Herb says much the same thing. But he does say, I am happy right now. Herb, how can you be happy right now when we've got such a big project ahead of us? Well, my friends, I am happy right now because I do not have a big project ahead of me. I do not have living here in an oasis as a detrimental thing. I do not have living here on this oasis with three other people as a place of abandonment. I do not have living by this beautiful, placid spring water constantly coming down from this little break on the edge of the oasis here that's a little higher. It's 200 or 300 feet high, and it's a little waterfall bubbling over the edge, coming out of nowhere and bubbling down into this oasis pool. It's delightful. It's glorious. And here I can be living as a happy person and fulfilled person in every possible way just by recognizing that I am a happy person, I am a fulfilled person right here and right now. And every thought I think manifests in my world. Now, I want to be content wherever I am. I want to be content here, not wanting to go back to civilization before I can be content. I want to be content here and not having to be in the environment that I had had before to make me content. I want to be content right now, right here, right where I am. I want to live in the consciousness of who and what I am right now. And I want to be so happy and so content and so fulfilled that all of my life is just a joy beyond words, a joy beyond comprehension, a joy beyond anything I can ever have conceived of myself. Oh boy, Herb, that sure sounds great, Clinton says. That sure sounds like the type of thing I would enjoy. In fact, I would have enjoyed it a long time ago. Well, you know, if I didn't have that thing hanging over my head, Clinton says, and I said, Mr. Clinton, may I make a suggestion? May I make a suggestion that in your brilliant mind, you conceive of yourself as being born right this minute, newborn, and you have no past, you have no future, you have just the present. You're newborn right now. There is no past in which you have to outlive something or that you have to prove something. There's no past for any of us. Just as Ertley has no past, and Clinton has no past, and Gates has no past, Barley has no past. We're all beings who live in now. We have no past. What we have done before, how we have lived before, the problems we faced before, the circumstances that made our life good, bad, or indifferent before, that's all past. Nobody knows anything about it. Let's just say that each one of us is born new. Now, I look at you, Mr. Gates, and I see you as a remarkable mind. I see you as a remarkable consciousness. I see your attitude of smiling and joyfulness as your totality. I see that you are a pleased person, and I see you just eager to get into this pool here at the oasis and swim around and enjoy that wonderful water. And Clinton says, who'd want to do that? And we all look at Clinton and say, why? Why do you say that? Well, who knows what that water is? And Gates says, well, I know. I am creating it right now, perfect, beautiful, wonderful. Beautiful sandy bottom to the pond here, beautiful, deep enough to swim in, and big enough. Well, it's an acre wide. It's quite a big oasis pond here. It's remarkable. It's got these rushes growing along the edge. It's just really quite lovely. Sandy beach and so forth. Well, you get out in the sun and it's too hot. Well, that may be, Heinz, but if you get in the cool water, it's wonderful. Hey, that's not a bad idea. Let's all get in the pool. So each one goes into the pool and swims in the pool, just thoroughly enjoying it, floating around. And in our oasis here, the sun's heat, the thermal heat of the desert being so tremendous, is not tremendous. It is very tolerable and very beautiful. And as we are here and the sun shines on our skins and could give us a bad sunburn if we were not careful. What's that? Sunburn? My body is a temple of the living spirit. Any sun that touches my body blesses my body and makes my body brown and beautiful. Any sun that touches my body and blesses my body and harmonizes with the skin of my body to make me brown and beautiful. And my lovely tan is a glorious thing to wear. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Yes. Yes, that's true. Saying this as a statement, my body is perfect, is wonderful, is fantastic. And as the days wore on, everyone was perfectly tan, perfectly brown, all running around like a bunch of naked Indians, just enjoying themselves 100%. And as we walked around the pond, we found all sorts of things to amuse us. We found all sorts of life to show us that here on this oasis, life continued for all these creatures in a harmonious way. And we took some of the fallen coconuts and split them open on some rocks and drank the coconut milk and ate the stuff of the white coconut stuff inside. And we looked at some of the green plants growing around the oasis pond, and we thought, surely that'll make some good food for us too. And we really did not have a great hunger, because we said our body is complete, our body is whole. My body is complete, my body is whole, my body is fulfilled. I am full, I am satisfied, I am content, I am peace. And all the atoms of our body, which function perfectly and beautifully and cannot in any way have imperfection in them or on them or about them, all of the atoms over my body were providing my body with all the things that it needed to be fulfilled in every way. A very, very healthy body, more healthy than I had ever been in my life. And I had no past, but very healthy. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Each one of us was living in our positive attitude world. And we lived it so completely and so wonderfully that we said it every single moment of every single day and every single moment of every single night. No matter awake or asleep, we were affirming to ourselves that my body is whole and perfect, my body is whole and perfect, my body is whole and perfect. And it has all of the nutrients and all the minerals and all the elements that are necessary to maintain it whole and perfect at all times. And my body has adequate water and adequate air, and everything is pure and beautiful. and I breathe deeply, and I drink deeply, and I thoroughly enjoy immersing myself in the pond, and just floating around like a leaf on the pond, just feeling so content and so happy. And as I would find a place underneath the palm tree, shaded by the sun, unnecessarily shaded by the sun, because the sun did not disturb me, I would sit there and I would think my thoughts. And my thought is, I will think about every cell of my body, and I have taken on a so-called impossible task, because there are so many billions of cells in our body, I could never begin to think of all of them. And I could never begin to think of telling each cell what to do. So I say only that every cell of my body is whole and perfect. Every cell of my body is fantastic, is glorious right now, and every cell of my body is fantastic in a marvelous, beautiful way. And it is. I say that my mind is open and receptive to all of the magic that there is. And I stare up at the stars at night, and I understand the stars. And even though I had never studied meteorology, even though I'd never studied the sky and studied the stars and astrology, astronomy, I knew every star and by the name that humanity has given to them. I knew them because I am one with all knowledge. And I look at the grains of sand here on the desert, and I look at them and I think to myself, these grains of sand form the silicon on which chips were made, on which great and profound information was stored. Now, it took great ovens to heat these chips and make them into these little tiny chips that they are to be receptive to the information with the various other things that were impounded and planted upon it. And I choose to do it without that. I choose to see it done and see it done right now. And Heinz says, well, I choose to see a car that will take me wherever I want to go. And we all spoke to Heinz and pointedly said, where do you want to go? And he says, oh, I don't know. I just think it's a great idea. I've never thought of anything as creating out of my mind a car that I can drive and enjoy. Well, Heinz, that's a good exercise, just like making silicon chips is a good exercise. But even better exercise is to think that all the knowledge of the universe is available to you right now in your mind, and you can think it, use it, and be it, and you don't have to have a car to go there. You can if you wish. But you could also mentally telepathy take yourself to anywhere you want to go. You can take your physical body if you wish. You can take your mental body if you wish. You can do it in any way you like. You are not limited in any way. You can think your thought and be wherever you choose in the world. You can be with your family. You can be here on this oasis. Oh man, this oasis is cool. I have learned more in this experience here on this oasis than I ever have in my entire lifetime. I have found within me the answer to everything. I have found within me the answer to the allness that I am. I am in bliss in this knowledge. Oh, hey, I just add another definition to the word bliss. Gates says, you have added another definition to the word bliss. It has already 1,000 definitions, and you have added another one to it. Well, good for you. I have added many to it myself, and I feel very good about it. Well, why are you guys staying here if you, by your thought, can be anywhere you want to be and you can be enjoying anything you want to be? Why are you living in your bodies and saying they need to have food and water and air and they need to be healthy? Why are you saying that when your bodies are immortally healthy and can never be changed from being healthy? Any change is an illusion that you have accepted, and you don't choose to accept that, and you don't have to. Why are you? And Bill Gates turned to Ertley, and he said, Ertley, Do you realize that we are sitting here in this room, in this hotel in Las Vegas, and we have been in this room for the last 10 minutes, and we have thought we were somewhere else, and we have always been right here in this room. We have never left this room. We have never gone out to an oasis. We have never had the great conversations that we have had anywhere else but right here in this room. And our visualization made us feel that we were at an oasis. Our visualization of our minds and the power of our mind and the power of our thinking made us feel that we had gone out on the desert. And to logically tie ourselves up out there, we had our Hummer blow up. And all the while, there had never even been a Hummer to take us out there. Oh, sure, there's lots of Hummers in the parking lot here, but none had taken us out there. And in that 10 minutes, we learned to live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body. In that 10 minutes, we learned to recognize that our body is whole and perfect right now and always. We learned to recognize that our mind has the capacity to, in 10 minutes, live a lifetime. Our mind has learned that we live in bliss right now. We live in perfection right now. We live in the wholeness of who we are right now. It's not an illusion. It's our reality. And we reveal our reality every moment of our life by whatever our thought is. And when our thought is perfect and beautiful and fantastic and glorious, then our experience is perfect, beautiful, fantastic, and glorious. Heinz and Bill and Herm got up, shook hands, gave each other a big hug and a kiss, and said, "It's good to know you." And we each turned and went our way, never more to see each other. And Bill Clinton was in perfect peace from that moment forward. Bill Gates went back to his world, no longer with the feeling of intensity that he had before, but a feeling of personal worth of, "I like me just the way I am." And Heinz, he looked at himself and he said, "Wow, I feel so good. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I'm all perfect." And he did everything that indicated to him his wholeness and perfection. And Herb, he went back into his world, ready for another adventure with other beautiful people who wanted to find eternal bliss this very moment in their ideal spirit, mind, and body, and live eternally in that bliss. Have a good day and have a good life. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.